Tonight we are going to look at a forgiving spirit. And after this class, we have six more classes on this series, and we'll finish something up with the last 3 weeks in November on a subject that I'm working on. With that, let's start off the class with definition of a forgiving spirit. Oh, hold on a second here. Who can define what a forgiving spirit is?
I can.
Go ahead, Ed.
Pardon, send forth, send away, forgive, completely cancel, remission of punishment due to sinful conduct, release, and forgiveness.
Okay. Who would like to add to that definition? Go ahead, Di.
The willingness to let go of anger, resentment, and the desire for retribution towards someone who has wronged you, and to move forward with compassion and understanding, choosing to release the negative emotions associated with a hurtful situation.
Very good. Anybody else? Dean?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I think there's a sense in which forgiveness is offered by the aggrieved person.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you sin against me, then Carol can't forgive you on my behalf. But if you sin against me, it's up to me to forgive you.
Right. Exactly. And it has to be mutual. You have to take the initiative.
Would you please sum up what was said from way back?
He said the parties have to forgive. That was, he have to forgive the party that caused you the grief. And that individual has to forgive. Anybody else, Carol?
Well, if look at this, it's not just the forgiveness part, it's the spirit within the person who has to have a new attitude, and that attitude, the spirit comes from God, and that forgiveness comes from God.
It's from within. Okay. Very good. Vicki and then Eileen.
Curious, you started mentioning something that has to be mutual. Can you say what you were going to say or say what you
Well, said? It has to be between the parties that it happened. Like, for example, you can't have another person forgive someone who would attack the individual. The two parties are involved.
Right.
And those two parties have to find a resolution. A third party cannot enter it and say, okay, things are cool.
Okay.
Eileen.
I was just saying, you can't hold on to bitterness and you can't hold grudges either.
You can't, exactly. So there's a lot of facets to what forgiveness is. And what is this, where does this start? Where do you think it starts from?
With a godly attitude.
With a godly attitude?
Forgiving spirit.
Well, yeah. Faith.
Remembering how God forgave us.
Exactly. And that's the attitude, the approach you and I have to have when we look at this characteristic of the forgiving spirit. Vicki.
In reading through this, and I've always wondered this, and I might be way off my thinking, but I'm wondering, there's a couple times I can think of that somebody said, God, please forgive them for they know not what they do. Can I ask God to forgive somebody and they be forgiven?
Because you can pray for that. Yes.
I can say, If Eileen hurt me, I could say, please forgive her because she didn't know what she did. She would be forgiven and everything's good.
No, you have to resolve that between you and Eileen.
Well, it's resolved because I asked God to forgive her. And
yeah,
I
did you ask? Did you forgive Eileen?
Well, that's what I'm saying. In the Bible, there's a couple examples of Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
can
Stephen.
Can we do that? When
Stephen was being stoned, and he said, don't hold your sin against him.
Right, so can I do that?
Well, but if the sin was against you, you don't go to God and say, forgive him. You have to do the forgiving. Dean and then Kirsten.
Well, I think the key there is Stephen said to God, and Jesus said to God, you know, it's different with Stephen than it is Jesus, but not to hold them accountable. God's still going to hold them accountable because they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Stephen having a forgiving heart and not holding that against those individuals. He's not dying with hate in his heart for those people. It's still up to God whether or not God forgives that situation. So, like Vicky's question is, you know, it says that, but does that apply to me? You know, I can pray for my children and pray that they change their direction or their attitude because it's hurtful or what have you, but that's still between them and God. That's just me releasing my own heart from the ill towards that individual.
Sure.
It doesn't resolve the sin and God.
Mm-hmm.
That's between the sinner and God.
Okay, Kirsten?
Well, when I was looking up stuff, they kept mentioning like family members that you no longer want to associate with, and you hold animosity against them and towards them. But at some point, you have to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily want to see those people. So it's more of like a personal forgiving. That you're just like, you know what, I forgive them for what they do. I'm not going to be around them anymore. I have to let it go. I can't hold a grudge towards them. But even if you're not going to talk to them again, because you know that if you talk to them, it's just going to open up a big can of worms, and that's just going to frustrate you even more, and you might not be able to release what you're trying to say to them. So it's more of a personal that you're wondering about. I'm thinking, like, I don't want to see that person anymore, so I just have to forgive them, and so I'm just going to do it.
Hey, Dean?
Well, I think we have to understand that we cannot obligate God to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus, of course, can obligate God because he is God. Stephen can't obligate God, and I can't obligate God. All I can do is say, to the extent that, I'll just pick an example, to the extent that Carol has sinned against me, I can forgive Carol. And I can hope that she will seek forgiveness from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't forgive in God's place. That would be me overstepping my down.
Exactly. One, Carol?
There are two parts of the forgiving. There's the forgiveness that God gives, that if two people are having a problem and one person goes to his brother and resolves that forgiveness is in the liking of what God wants a person to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's another general benefit from forgiving, and that is when we forgive somebody, we are not going to hold it against them. God still will, but we won't. So all of these people who go out and shoot up churches and whatever, if you find yourself obsessing about this person and thinking that these people should be killed or thrown in jail or whatever, and you start obsessing about that, you need to be able to forgive them for what they did and say, and let God handle it. And so there's two different things. There's the forgiveness that brings you back to harmony with God, and there's the peace. There's the forgiveness that brings you harmony in your own life.
Sure. Dean again?
So, yeah, if Carol started burning down churches, if she didn't harm me, I can't forgive them. We're not involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can decide that I want her to have a relationship with God, but I can't forgive unless I am the aggrieved party.
Right.
So there's no sense in which I can forgive the person who shot President Trump. That was not an action against me. Now, President Trump could forgive it, but I can't. His wife could forgive it because someone is taking her husband away from her, and that's a harm against her. But if I'm not a party to this, to the behavior, I can't talk about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he talked to God. He said, against thee and against thee only have I sinned. That doesn't mean that he did not sin against Bathsheba.
Exactly. In fact, just coming to light is this incident with the murder of that Charlie Kirk, and his wife, Christy, said she forgave the individual who shot him. And that's what Dean is getting at. That individual who was party to that incident forgave. We couldn't do it because we had no part of it. And that's important to know. And forgiveness starts with God. He forgave all of us of our sins. And that's a pattern we should follow in our lives. So as we go forward, a forgiving spirit is crucial aspect of Christian character. Now, we've studied a lot of different characteristics that we should strive for, but forgiving is crucial because it's bringing the healing and revealing God's love. That's where it starts. We also see it involves canceling a debt and removing barriers to reconciliation. That's what Jesus did for you and I. He paid the debt that God demanded for sin on the cross of Calvary for all humanity. And that allowed us to be reconciled back to God so that we may have a relationship with Him. And forgiveness is not just a one-time act, but a condition to me continuously, as experiencing God's forgiveness is linked to forgiving others. And that's so important to remember when you are forgiving. We studied this in the beginning of summer on how we, in a conflict with our brothers and sisters, are to resolve those issues. And I won't go into that study because we spent at length beginning of the summer discussing it. But God is, first of all, let's look at God's forgiveness. God offers forgiveness to those who repent and seek His grace. It's there for everyone. The forgiveness is a gift, not something earned through deeds or actions, but it's God's gift to you and I. It often describes a cancellation of debt which God no longer holding our sins against us. That's an example for us to follow when we forgive others. Yes, Helen.
Well, in David's case, the seed of the heart, they had this child, and there were consequences, definite consequences that came out of that sin that they committed.
Yes, they are.
And there's already consequences to our choices.
Mm-hmm. And as we go forward, God's forgiveness is the foundation for human forgiveness. Just think, when you look at God's example, we have to follow that. What about human example? Human forgiveness. Forgiving others is a commandment in the Bible linked to the concept of love and mercy. That's what we have to extend to people. Forgiving. That's forgiving spirit. Philip.
Forgiveness is something, it's an act of humility.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to say, I was wrong, and I'm going to let this go. And God's forgiveness comes from a position of power that we owe it to Him. When we forgive somebody else, for a moment, we're making ourselves their servant.
Very good. Good point. Yes, Alan.
I couldn't follow what he had to say. I'm sorry to say, can you sum it up?
He said that God forgives. He's a high power. We should emulate that in our lives.
Well, right now I've got a non-Christian thing against me at my home, and they will not repent and change God at this point. Have no use. And how am I supposed to forgive them when they won't repent and they keep doing the same thing over and over, and I can't get rid of them?
Christians have to forgive, and you have to try to resolve that with that individual. Okay, let's continue on. It seems as a way to emulate God's character and extend grace that we have, that we receive from God. Again, human forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just a feeling, but an intentional choice to release bitterness and resentment, as some people have brought up in their definition. And we continue on. It's often encouraged in response to repentance or when someone has sought reconciliation. That's important to resolve the issues with individuals. And finally, it's understood as a positive step towards healing and restoring relationships. And that's what it's all about. We have to have a forgiving spirit and show others that we are Christians and we forgive. So as we go forward, there are several key aspects of a forgiving spirit. First of all, there's repentance. And that is a change of heart and turning away from sin as a prerequisite for receiving forgiveness from God. And we all had done that when we were baptized. We entered the watery grave of baptism, and God forgave us of our sins. He no longer remembered our sins. And as we go forward in our lives, we go to God through Jesus and ask for forgiveness, and we repent from those things. Another aspect of a forgiving spirit is reconciliation. What is reconciliation? That's a $2 word for me. Babe.
Being back together again. Being back with.
Exactly. Restoring relationships, which involves forgiveness. Reconcile. meaning make right. We go on to see that there's grace involved. That's unmerited favor and kindness. And that's a key element of God's forgiveness. And we should extend that to others. Mercy. Kindness and compassion towards those who have sinned or wronged us. That's what we extend to people. And finally, love. This is a foundational principle for forgiveness. And we could go on to say love doesn't keep any records. We don't tally those things someone did against us. And, oh, do you remember this time? Or do you remember that? God forgave us of our sins, and we should do the same for others. Carol.
There was a instance with somebody that I know that a member, you're supposed to, if they're, you go to your brother, and if you can't resolve it, you don't take it to the courts. You accept that loss rather than to lose the brother. Sure. Okay. So they're working for the person. The person says, oh no, I gave this to you instead of giving you your wage. Okay. They're not resolving it. The other person doesn't think there's anything wrong with what they have done. And so the forgiving spirit is on the person who was sinned against.
Mm-hmm.
And he wronged, and he has the forgiving spirit to forgive the other person. God still has to forgive that person. But in order to let it go, you have to have the forgiving spirit.
Exactly.
You did.
Good point. Anybody else?
I'm just going to say, and I know it's hard, but I believe forgetting is just a really big part of forgiving. And I've heard people say, well, you can forgive, but you don't have to forget. Well, you got to forget, or you're just going to keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, and it just harms you.
And that's only human nature.
Yeah, I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, especially some really bad stuff that can happen to people.
But exactly. But as a Christian, we have to forget about it and move on. Faith.
That means not telling other people about it after it's all over. It's done. It's nobody needs to know.
Exactly. Nobody needs to know but you and the party that's involved. But don't go gossiping to other people. And that's another area that you have to be concerned about. Dean, do you have a question?
Well, I'm struggling in my mind just a little bit. So many times when put your hand down or I'm like gonna talk so loud. We have this idea of this 70 times 7. How many times should a brother sin against me and ask forgiveness? Okay, having a forgiving spirit doesn't mean we're a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had brethren, and we've had contentions with those brethren, and we forgive them, whether they repent or not. But then they continue to cause problems. And we do. How long do you let a situation go before you just move on? So by just moving on in a situation, are you not having a forgiving spirit? Or do we apply the 70 times 7 to all forgiving, whether they ask for it or not? I don't see that in the scripture, so I struggle with it. I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, I try those things, but there are some people that are not going to change. And at some point, don't we have to dust our feet off and move on?
Good point.
We not throwing pearls unto swine in those types of situations? So I'm back here trying to figure it out. Like, I want to be a forgiving person, but do these verses apply to this verse? And I hope Dean can answer this.
Yeah, Dean.
Well, I think it's important to also look at what happened between Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15. They chose to go their separate ways. There was no condemnation of that. They just chose to go their separate ways. And it may be that someone has sinned against me
I can forgive it and still choose to go a separate way.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I have to stay with that person. And that's what Paul of Barnabas did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul didn't badmouth Barnabas, and Barnabas didn't badmouth Paul, and neither one of them went around badmouthing John Mark. They went their separate ways.
That's an excellent example we have with Paul and Barnabas. And that's the example we should follow. You know, as Dean had mentioned, we are not a doormat for people. We have to respect one another. And that individual should realize the one that sinned against you, he has to show the same respect that you show him as the one being sinned against. Vicki.
I understand what Eileen is saying about the forgive and forget. I just don't think that we can, depending on the situation, I don't think we can forget because we need to be aware of what they've done so we don't let it happen again. And I did not word that very well at all. I'm thinking, but I'm also thinking of a horrendous thing that just happened. Charlie Kirk's wife stood up there and said, I forgive him. Is she going to forget that?
Absolutely. I don't think so, but she's not going to hold that against that individual.
But that's different than forgetting.
Right.
I mean, she's forgiven him.
But she has it in her mind. It happened.
Exactly. So she will never, ever forget what happened.
No.
So I just think.
But what Eileen was getting at, if you remember those things, you don't hold those against the individual.
Right. But I think you cannot hold it against them and still remember it.
Yeah, you still remember it. You are going to remember it because it happened.
Right.
Yeah. Dean and then Nolan.
Well, I get again, to get back to Paul and Barnabas, or to take the example in 1 Corinthians 6, the man who defrauds you and you have a business relationship. Suppose that you and I, lady, have a business relationship and you steal from me, or I think that you've stolen from me. I can forgive that and at the same time decide I'm not ever going to do business with you again.
Exactly.
That's exactly what Paul and Barnabas did. It's okay for us to not do business, but I don't have to go around every time I encounter somebody new bad-mouthing you because I think you stole money from me in a business. I have the responsibility to accept it and be defrauded.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Nolan?
We have to remember that we can get in that position of being a doormat to be walked on if you're not addressing the behavior. We are also commanded to go to the person if we have an offense.
Right, exactly.
You can't just sit there and blindly forgive and get frustrated that they haven't changed their behavior. Because some people don't have the courage to go to somebody, it's hard to do that, and tell them that they've offended you in some way. So then you get further offended, and with that, you feel like you have to continue forgiving the behavior, but when you finally get asked the question, have you told them that they hurt your feelings, and you say no, you're partially involved in that.
Absolutely. Because when we look at Matthew 18, it tells us we have to go to that road. And it's you have the responsibility as a Christian to do that. And if you don't, you're missing the boat. Carol.
I think sort of answer what Vicki was saying, the person who was defrauded by his boss, he's sort of like Dean says, he's not going to trust to work for that boss month that he's going to get a paycheck or he's not going to get a paycheck. So just because you forgive them doesn't mean that you don't change your life around. You know, somebody who steals from the church's treasure should never be, even if they repent, should never be in charge of the treasury again. So, you don't totally forget it because you know that you don't want to see somebody else in that kind of situation. But just because somebody goes into business with somebody who's a bad business person and you think they stole from you, that doesn't mean every time you see that he's going to go to somebody else and start up a business with somebody else that you have to gossip about it and go to them. So it's a fine line there.
Well, absolutely. Anybody else? Kirsten.
So when studying this, I found Proverbs 22:3. And it reads, "The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it." So I'm thinking, just looking at that, that we have to have a proactive approach to how we are going to be with people, and we have to take responsibility for our own safety and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the naive people they're not going to, you know, we have to know. So it doesn't mean that we can't set boundaries. We can set limits. We look at each situation individually, figure out what kind of loving limits are appropriate. And one thing that where I was reading kept saying to replace the natural, which is, I'm assuming, the natural feeling to, like, not forget and to just always just, you know, keep bringing it up or whatever, with the spiritual, meaning asking God for the grace to forgive those who did you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I kind of found that forgiving spirit.
That's so. Very good. Which brings us to our next question. Share two verses in the Bible of a forgiving spirit and explain the verses. Lee?
Oh, the Lord's Prayer is the most obvious one. And that we know how that goes.
What's that?
The Lord's
Prayer.
The gentleman that had the slave that he had that he owed money for, and then he did forgive him of that. He said he'd pay it all back.
Believe me?
Yeah. No, the slave in Matthew.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the slave who
yes.
had yeah.
Yeah, it had in the parable. In the parable.
Yeah. Bill?
In Acts 7:60, when Stephen was being stoned, he said, "Lay not the sin, don't hold the sin against them."
Yeah, exactly. Anybody else have a verse that you'd like to share? Carol, and then Kirsten.
Romans 3:25. It's about God's forgiving spirit. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This it was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed.
Good. Anybody from on Zoom have one to share?
Should be it.
Kirsten, did you...
Oh, Matthew 6:14-15. "For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions."
Good. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And I have another one in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Again, going back to the way God forgives us, is how you and I, as Christians, forgive others. Carol.
Well, I had difficulty finding a person thing here, but Paul, who used to be Saul when he was first a Christian, when he walked into churches and they had to accept him as Paul and not Saul, the hunter of Christians, they had to have a forgiving spirit every time they saw him.
Sure.
Especially if he had hauled one of their relatives away. You know, that's a big...
That's a big ask.
Big ask, yeah.
Absolutely. Bill?
Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. They would have killed him. And when they came to him in Egypt, he was overjoyed to be reunited with them.
Sure. He had a forgiving spirit.
Would you tell me what he said?
He's talking about Joseph forgiving his brothers.
Yeah.
Okay? So who else in the who else in the Old Testament exhibited a forgiving spirit that we can name?
I said God, because he forgave the Israelites over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and I know he forgives us, but I thought of Joseph too, but I thought of God. I thought, how many times did he forgive the Israelites? And how many times does he forgive us?
Sure. And that's what we have to follow in our lives. How many times? Just keep on doing it. Anybody else have an example? Bob?
Yeah, David forgave Nabal.
Yeah.
Because Abigail pled for him. And so Nabal scorned David. And he's known as a worthless man. And it said to, please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. So Abigail was willing to take on his punishment. So
sure. Very good. Kirsten?
No, Esau, Jake, and Jacob.
See, I think you sneak into my house and take me on your list. Go ahead. Why don't you explain that?
Oh, yeah. Just the fact that Esau forgave his brother for taking his birthright. All those years went by. And he Esau worried about that, like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to forgive him on his way to go see him? Like, what's he going to do to me when he sees me here? You know, so just that whole brothers meeting up again and hashing it out. But they really didn't. They just kind of were like so excited to see each other that they wept.
There you go. In fact, they were. He thought he was in for a fight, but yet, when he saw Menahem, he hugged him. He wept. He cried. That's the forgiving spirit that had individual have. It had. Anybody else have an example in the Old Testament?
It's an example of an unforgiving heart, and that is after Pharaoh had been humbled and released the children of Israel, he looked back upon the thing and did not have a forgiving heart, and he chased after them. And
sure,
it was pretty much
his demise. He lost his army and all their lives.
Yeah.
And God took care of it. Anybody else have an example in the Old Testament? What about the New Testament?
What I wrote down has already been spoken of, Stephen.
that's an excellent example, Stephen. I chose Stephen also because he didn't hold that against those individuals who were stoning him, and he wanted God to do the same because he said, don't hold the sin against him. And then he died. Yes, Bill.
The prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His father was extremely happy to have him back.
Sure. And he forgave him of what he'd done. He accepted him. Anybody else?
I don't have it prepared for this. I
little louder, Helen.
I've been prepared enough for this, but I would want to say this, that I should, she doesn't place in our behavior. It says to resist the devil and he flee from us. And that's all involved in all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's continue.
I've been resisting today in my own home. And that's just beside the point here. That's a word. But Jesus is saying it's wrong what's happening. I haven't been able to make a stop. And I don't know whether I should be forgiven now or not because it wasn't because I'd done anything wrong to them.
Okay, let's continue. How do Christians reflect the Christ-like attitude through a forgiving spirit?
Well, Ephesians 4:31 and 32 said, if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God's word, and let go of bitterness and anger in Luke 6:31. So God forgave me, so I should forgive us.
Absolutely. Anybody else would like to add to that? Adi?
Well, I think Kirsten kind of hit it on the head. She said it's resisting the natural impulse to respond and to forgive instead. And I am convinced that when we forgive, we have an incredible impact on other people who understand that we gave up a natural inclination and we chose to follow God. I think that's what was so moving about Charlie Kirk's wife at the memorial. And that's what I keep hearing over and over again. I could not do that. But you can if you rely on the Spirit to guide you. And she did it, and did it openly, and it was impressive.
That's a very powerful example that we have in life. And I don't know if she's a Christian or not. However, she displayed what a forgiving spirit is. And that's what we should emulate in our lives. When we look at a Christ-like attitude, we should have a forgiving spirit. Of a forgiving spirit, we are to put these, we have to develop this characteristic and practice actions that reflect Christ's teachings and example. And we have that in the Gospels. We studied the Harmonic Gospels, and they showed us how Jesus interacted with people of the time and how he forgave people, how he didn't hold things against them. However, he gave us many examples while he was here that was written down for us. So we should emulate Christ's forgiveness. Remember God's forgiveness. Focus on the vastness of God's forgiveness towards your own sins can motivate you to extend the same grace to others. And that's something Christians should do. Faith?
In that forgiving, it's not as easy as just saying that. You've got to do a lot of prayer. You've got to do a lot of soul searching. You've got to figure out, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I exaggerating? There's a lot going on.
Exactly. It's not just the words, but it's the actions. It's what you put into practice. Kirsten.
I had, so to forgive, and Ephesians 4:23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, so you forgive. But you also kind of have to grieve a little bit. So James 4:9, which says, be miserable and mourn and weep, but let your laughter be turned. But let's see. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. So, you know, you kind of have to, you're forgiving, but, you know, but it, what is it that it's forgiving you? So you have to kind of grieve about it a little bit. But then you do your healing, which was Psalms 30 and verse 2. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. So forgive, grieve, healing. It's all something that we have to do to practice. But God will give us our current healing and future paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to be involved in that journey with them.
Sure. We have to forgive completely. Adeen.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. Forgiveness is not saying to someone, it's no big deal. It is saying instead, it was a big deal and I forgive it. Those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sell ourselves short. I know I do. When I substitute diminishing what someone has done for forgiving what someone has done.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, you had something else to add?
He said that. I just kind of thought, for them, it's a growing process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so you don't want to diminish it. You want them to understand they hurt you, and it's not a good thing. And so don't do it again with somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
Errol?
Well, one of the things in watching about Charlie Kirk and watching most of the people, forgiving spirit, because you could tell that they had a forgiving spirit, but it's because they could already see God's hand in Charlie's assassination, that God made it, that he didn't do the assassination, he didn't want it, but in God took it, and they meant it for evil, and God made it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And they could see the goodness and the things that Charlie wanted to accomplish that were all coming true because this person did something evil and meant it for darkness, but it, God changed it to light.
Sure.
And that forgiveness is easier to see when you can all of a sudden put it together and see that it was for the good in some sort of way. Not that it was a good thing that it happened, but that God made it good.
You know, there's a lot of things that came out of this event. And not to belabor it, but still, Christians should focus on forgiving, as Christy did. Another thing, as Kirsten had brought up, prayer. Pray for those who wronged you. Pray for our enemies. That's in the Bible. This can help shift your perspective and strengthen your heart to those as Christ has forgiven others. Also, we should develop Christ-like attributes by practicing humility. Look at Jesus when he was here. He was humble. And those who approached him, he didn't put them down. He actually encouraged them. He wanted their soul, as you and I are responsible for. Bill, did you have a question?
Yeah, not a question, a statement. We, I think, once we're saved, and if we haven't had any big evils in our lives that were publicly bad examples, we are a family, we consider ourselves clean and good. And somebody comes in off the street who's been an extortioner or a rapist or a murderer, and they turn their life over to Christ, we can't hold that against them. They want to be one of God's people. He's forgiven them of that. Human beings are not perfect. We make mistakes. And we can't be better than anybody else that comes in the door.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We have to treat everybody with respect, love, and honor. And that's what Jesus did. He showed love to people and compassion. Extend unconditional love to others, kindness and mercy, just as Jesus did. Be patient and tenderhearted. Yes, Helen.
What about some boundaries that Jesus set when people were sinning? What about the boundaries? Jesus set boundaries for people here and there. I don't have the stuff right now. You know this.
I didn't hear. I don't.
I'm sorry, I lost my friendship in the house or someplace. Ain't a place kind of anyway. I can't speak as clearly as a consequence. So, you know, I'll be forgiving.
God set boundaries.
Oh, yeah, set boundaries. Okay. You're right. We should. Set boundaries. But we should also be patient with those individuals. And we studied last couple of weeks, joy and rejoicing. We should be joyous. Cultivate joy by recognizing the freedom and forgiveness you have in Christ, as with everybody else. And let your forgiving spirit display that, Thomas. Also, act on your forgiveness. Put it into action. Make a decision to forgive and forgive. Acknowledge and release the hurt within yourself. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But yet, God expects you to forgive. I know some instances where in my life, it was difficult to forgive, to the point that if I didn't have a brother in Christ to help me through that, I would have been on the other side. So it's important we support one another. Set healthy boundaries, as Christian had indicated, Helen had mentioned. And that's what we should do. And commit to the process. Don't just use words. Don't just use things that you say, but actually put it into action. Commit to that process. So how do you grow in a forgiven spirit and seek opportunities to demonstrate a forgiven spirit to others? What do you think?
First, we need to pray to God to become more like Jesus in our attitude and in our actions to everyone.
Very good. Very good, Ann.
Colossians 3:12-13. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave you.
Very good.
For us.
That's an excellent verse that we should have on our hearts as Christians. We should actively choose to release resentment and extend grace, much like God had did for us. And this requires acknowledging the pain, understanding the importance of forgiveness, and actively choosing to forgive others when it's difficult. And a lot of times it is difficult. And then you have to see it and understand God forgave you. You should extend that to others. It's also about seeking God's guidance, relying on His grace and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your heart. That's so important to remember. So by showing a forgiving spirit in faith involves extending grace and compassion to others, just like God had forgiven us.
And this can be demonstrated through various actions, including prayer, kindness, and actively seeking reconciliation. Prayer. For those who have wronged you, even when you're enemies, demonstrates a forgiving heart and aligns with biblical teachings. Luke shares with us in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's what Jesus had shared with us, and we should be extending that to others. Kindness. Practice kindness, compassion, and empathy towards others, especially those who hurt you, because it reflects God's grace and mercy. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? That's what our attitude should be as Christians. Extend kindness, compassion, and have empathy towards others. And finally, seek reconciliation. Reaching out to those that have wronged you or have wronged you to reconcile and resolve issues can be a powerful way to show forgiveness. And we have an example of that in Matthew 18 and 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won a brother. That's what our attitude should be on a forgiving spirit. Does anybody have anything to add to our study this evening? Yes, sir.
I was looking at a verse in Mark, and it's Mark 11:25. It says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions.
A very good verse. And that's something that we should remember in our lives. If we don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Helen, did you have something to say?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you. It was an excellent discussion tonight. And next week we will continue with our characteristics. And I believe it's, hold on a second.
Kindness.
Kindness, very good. Thank you.